You've been hearing a lot about migrating to the cloud, but what are the migration phases and what are the various strategies that real-world organizations have taken? Learn more in this episode of Data Exposed. Hi, I'm Anna Hoffman, and welcome to this episode of Data Exposed. Today, I'm joined by Raj, a program manager on the Azure Data team. Raj, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Anna, for your time. Let me introduce myself. My name is Raj Pocharaju, and I'm a principal program manager in Azure SQL. My team's core focus is to develop the database migration tools that really enable you a seamless database, SQL Server database migrations from your on-premises environments to Azure SQL.
Awesome. Yeah. So it's great to have you on the show. And I believe we're really kicking off a series. So we'll link to the whole playlist in the description. But Raj, you know, before we get into kind of deeper topics related to migrating to the cloud, I'd love to get your take on, you know, what is the migration strategy or process, or is there a standard guidance on how customers should think about this?
Yeah, sure. I think at first, I definitely want to talk about the various phases that are involved in the migration journey. As you see on the screen, there are like four different phases that customers really take when they take the migration journey. The very first phase is essentially you go on and discover your environment and then scan through your application portfolio and really understand which of those applications are ready to migrate to cloud. And then which of these applications are good fit for, software as a service, which applications are good fit for infrastructure and platform as a service kind of stuff. So you do that kind of analysis as part of the discovery and assessment phases. And you really also want to understand which of those applications that you really want to do a lift and shift migration, also called as a rehost migration, depending on the effort that is being involved to do the migration and the return of investment. You really make some kind of a architectural and decisions to see whether you are going to be adopting a rehost migration or are you going to refactor some of your workloads to migrate to more modern platforms on the cloud. So you make all those kind of decisions in the phases like discovery and assessment phase. And then after that, there is a phase called migrate phase where you start migrating your schema and then you are migrating your databases. And as well as you are migrating, any other artifacts that your applications are dependent on. And then you also think about, do you really, how much migration downtime that you have and what type of migration method that you are going to be using so that you can really, enable that kind of a migration to meet your migration downtime SLA numbers. And you kind of adapts some of those tools that really help you to meet your migration needs as well. And as a matter of fact, you also want to understand, is it like a one-time migration? Is it more of a coexistence migration that you want to make sure that both source databases and as well as the target databases are going to be, both being to be having read and write operations at the same time, and you would come and then do the migration cutover at some point of time. So based on how you plan, you kind of pick the specific tools and services that really help you to do those migrations. And once you really migrate, the next step is to optimize. The cloud migration journey did not stop as soon as you get to the cloud. I think the journey starts there, where now that you get used to the cloud, the next step is that, how can I start leveraging the native cloud services that you can really use those cloud services to optimize your customer experiences, optimize your investments into the cloud, and then essentially you can really invest more so that you can really make your customer experiences much better. And then the final stage is secure and manage. Usually security is not something that you would really think towards the end of the migration journey. Security and privacy is something that you would think through the entire migration journey. But what I really mean by secure and manage is now you can really start leveraging some of the native capabilities that are built into the cloud that you can really start securing using the native cloud services to start securing your databases, securing your data, securing your access layers and everything that you can really leverage those cloud native services. And also, especially Azure has a lot of capabilities that you can really effectively manage your resources as well. manage access controls, manage your growth in terms of the cloud resources. You can really use manage your resources and as well as manage your cost using those management services. So that's a typical migration journey that the customers really go through.
Awesome. Thanks, Raj. That's been really useful. It's nice to see kind of like at a high level what the process and the guidance is and that guidance exists. So that's great to see. You know, I would love if you have any examples of like big customers that do these big type of migrations and any like tips and tricks or how they did it.
Yeah, more than happy to share with you. I definitely want to take the MSIT example itself. MSIT is a large enterprise that you can think of. So the way that they took their migration journey is that, like I mentioned in the previous slide, where you have discovery and assessment phase, where they really scan through the applications. You know, you're talking about approximately more than 3,500 applications, and they really put them into different buckets, as you see here. There are like 5% of the applications came through as remain on premises because of the complexity and legacy nature of those applications, and we did not really find any value migrating those applications by taking that complex migration journey and migrating to the cloud. So that's 5% of the applications remains on prem. And then there is another 30% of the applications that also we decided that we don't want to pursue the cloud migrations is because, either we know that they are going to be retiring at some point of time, or we know that some of that functionality has been added to the new applications that we recently built. So that kind of it really gives us an opportunity to eliminate, first of all, some of the workloads that we don't want to migrate to the cloud to begin with. And that is really important as well at the same time, because you want to prioritize which applications that you want to migrate, which applications you don't want, and how, which applications that you want to migrate at first, right? And then there are 50% of the majority of the applications that really we decided that, some of these applications we wanted to do a lift and shift migration, migrating to more of a infrastructure as a service platform. And there are some applications that we can really do a little more investments by refactoring them, and then we can really start leveraging the cloud native way of migrating, like PaaS services. So a bunch of our applications really fall into that bucket, where either we migrated to IaaS or whether we migrated to platform as a service, depending on how ready those applications and how much effort that is really involved migrating those. And then there is a 15% of the applications that we, for example, some of the applications that are not customer facing, but they're used for internal applications like email services, and as well as the CRM applications that we use to manage our internal assets. Those are the applications that we started looking at. Can we use any solutions that are available on the shell already, right? So that is where we really started leveraging software as a service. For example, Dynamics CRM is one thing that we really migrated our customer-facing applications. Customer management applications. And then we also migrated our email services to Office 365. So that way, we really segregated all these different application workloads into multiple buckets that really helps us to plan migrations really well.
Yeah, this is really interesting. It also gives like a good perspective on how other big organizations are actually thinking about what they're actually going to migrate, how they're going to migrate it, and even like evaluating if they should even migrate it and continue to sustain it. From a Microsoft's perspective, Raj, like how are we thinking about our migrations as an investment?
Yep. So we are making heavy investments to really help customer migrations seamless as much as we can. And there are three different areas that we are really investing. The very first area is like the tools and services that really help you to take the specific migration journey that I talked about in my previous slide. The tools that really help you to do the discovery of the SQL Server estate or the database estate, and also find out the application dependencies, and then do the readiness assessment and help you to do the actual target fit in terms of what specific tiers and SKUs that my workload can fit to render the similar and exceeded performance, but at the same time also optimizes my cost. So to help you to do all that kind of analysis, we have tools like Azure Migrate that really help you to do the discovery and the assessment, and then find out the cost estimates migrating to the a cloud. And then we also have a DMA tool, data migration assistant tool, and that really help you to do SSC or SQL Server databases. And we have tools like data experimentation assistant tool that you can really do a performance validation even before you migrate how your target is going to respond to you. And then we also have a tool called SSMA, SQL Server Migration Assistant tool, that especially help you to migrate from the heterogeneous sources like Oracle Sybase DB2 that you can really migrate to Azure SQL. And these are the tools that we really invest in, and we keep updating them with the newest capabilities and everything that really help you to do that that really help you to automate some of your migration journey there. And then we also invest heavily in engineering programs. You know, we know that some of the migrations are complex. You know, it's not a tools problem to begin with. They are complex. And then you need a lot of guidance in terms of cloud adoption, how the cloud is going to look like in terms of your policies and everything. And then, you know, take you to the migration journey. It requires a lot of planning. So we have programs like AMP, Azure Migrate Program, and Fast Track, that where we really provide engineering white glove experience for those complex migrations with zero cost for you, actually. So we really provide that engineering white glove experience to you. And then we also get a lot of learnings through our tools, and as well as, you know, working through the programs with the customers. We got all the learnings, and we really document all those migration best practices into a database migration guide. And that link is already provided there, which is a very datamigration.microsoft.com. So you can really use that link to get that kind of a step-by-step guidance to take that kind of a migration journey.
Awesome. Wow, Raj. It seems like there are a lot of resources available from a tools perspective, as well as from getting that hands-on experience, hands-on help if it's something you need. And then this data migration guides, which is going to give you, you know, custom source and target guides for your migration. So this has been a really useful episode. Raj, any final tips for folks that are kind of just getting into looking at the migration space and their strategy?
Yeah, so I'm sure that you're going to provide some references, resource links into some of these, video. So I really suggest that you leverage those links to understand more about our migration journey. But if you really run into any issues, obviously, please consider that Microsoft is there for help you to take your migration journey.
Thanks, Raj. That's really useful. And this has been a really great episode for me to learn more about the different migration strategies and especially the migration phases. And it was also interesting to see a real-world customer, Microsoft IT, MSIT, how they actually went about doing it and what they actually migrated and when. So thanks so much, Raj. For our viewers, if you like this video, please like this video, subscribe to our channel, leave us a comment, and check the links in the description because we have lots of references for you to learn more. We hope to see you next time on Data Exposed.